especially the tragic cost that they have had on us, on those around us, on our relationship with God, but especially the tragic cost that they laid on the innocent shoulders of Jesus Christ, this is on full display. And the season isn't over yet. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And if you've ever experienced, or if you've ever mourned, if you've ever experienced tragedy, you know just how long that dark night of the soul can sometimes become. And so we come to the Rose Sunday, Lateris Sunday in the Latin, after the first word in Latin of the historic introit for the Sunday. We've passed the halfway mark. If you're following the devotion book from Lutheran Hour Ministries, then we just passed last night the halfway point in the devotion book, halfway between Ash Wednesday and the Monday after Easter. And here comes our readings for today, a breath of fresh air in the middle of a penitential reflective period. Jesus reminds us of who we are and whose we are. A reminder of the whole point of this penitential season. What is a Christian? A Christian is saved. Now, the first question that we need to ask in approaching our readings from today, especially our epistle reading from Ephesians chapter 2, is why do I even need to be saved? Now, if you've been a Lutheran for a long time, hopefully this comes to you as a review. If you are new to the faith, if you are visiting, you may actually find yourself asking this question when it comes to what we believe as Lutherans. But regardless, if you have questions, I would encourage you to come and talk to me about them, what it is that we believe as Lutherans. But either way, from birth, our position in relation to God is the same. It is one of rebellion and opposition. We see it in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Dead in our trespasses and sins in which we once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now at work in the sons of disobedience. We are dead in sins. We are rebels against the one true God who is our creator. We have followed after Satan and his fallen angels, leading in their rebellion against God. And we've been drawn away from God's desires towards our own desires. Now, God didn't create us to be this way. We were created perfect, but we rebelled. And we see this over and over again in the Old Testament with Israel. Our Old Testament reading from Numbers chapter 21 is just one example among many. The bronze serpent, the context, the people are wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and they start to complain, rebelling and rejecting the food which God has been providing for them ever since they left Egypt. God had provided manna every day, every week, without fail, for the last 40 years, And the people say there's no food, there's manna, there's no water, there's the rock that's been following them from which Moses has been calling out water for them, and we load this miserable food. So apparently they do in fact have food. And so they reject God, they reject God's plan for him, they rebel against him. Because of sin, we are dead toward God. How much free will does a dead person have? Absolutely none. So because we are dead in our trespasses and sins, we can play no part in saving ourselves. If you work in the medical field or if you've ever taken a CPR course, you should at least be familiar with the process. Although I think they've changed it 6 times in the 3 years since I last had a CPR course, but that's beside the point. But when you do CPR on someone, there is one thing that always remains consistent. Is the person breathing? Is their heart beating? And the AED is only used when there's an erratic heartbeat to put it back in rhythm. But CPR, there is no heartbeat, there is no breathing. And so when the answer to those two questions is no, no heartbeat, no breathing, what does that make them? Dead. So if they are dead, can they help you or can they play any part in doing CPR on themselves? Because if they can help you do CPR on themselves, then they don't need CPR. That seems fairly basic. But that's how much we can possibly contribute to our own salvation. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. And once you lived in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but now Christ has made you alive. But God, verse 4, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. What an incredible gift this is, that like the paramedic doing CPR on an accident victim, like a lifeguard saving a drowned swimmer, Jesus saves you. Jesus makes you alive. You didn't contribute anything to this. How could you? That's precisely when you were least capable of helping yourself, when you were least lovable, when you were least savable, that's when God stepped in. And he does it all by himself without any input from you whatsoever. How? The same way that he saved the people of Israel in the wilderness. In John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Jesus compares the bronze serpent being lifted up on the pole from the Old Testament reading to himself. The people complained against Moses, complained against God about food, and then God's response is that he sends the fiery serpents to bite the people so that many of them died. When it happens, the people repent of their sins. They beg for relief from the serpents, from the death, thinking, I assume, that God would take away the serpents, but instead, God instructed Moses to construct a bronze serpent and to place it on a pole. All the people, whoever looked to the pole of the bronze serpent would be saved. Now, the salvation, it didn't look like much. It was a bronze image of the object of their suffering. How could just looking at this thing save anyone? I imagine a lot of them asked. And yet, those who trusted in God's word, who looked at the image in faith, they were saved. It's faith. Faith in the promise that God had made to them. That is what saves them. They don't do anything. They simply look to what God has placed in front of them. And it's the same thing with Jesus as he hangs on the cross. He is lifted up. He didn't look like much of anything, a criminal dying the way that any other Roman criminal would die. And yet, all the same, he offers you salvation from your sins. He gives you life. He saves you by his death. This is yours through faith. It's not something that you need to earn. It's not something you need to work for. This is purely gift, a gift given to you by your loving Heavenly Father, which you receive by faith. This gift, it isn't just for some people. It's a gift for everyone. Everyone is made alive in Christ. By grace you have been saved, and this is a gift that's for everyone. Verses 8 and 9, this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now, it's tempting for us to, as Christians, to think of ourselves as somehow being better because we've been saved, because we have been given faith in Jesus Christ. The pride of this is my church, as if the body of Christ is an exclusive club. The pride of I've been a Christian all my life, as if God only calls from the cradle. The pride of I've been a member of this church since it was founded, as if the church exists to serve me rather than for me to serve my brothers and sisters in Christ. No, the reality is, because salvation is something that comes from outside of ourselves through faith in Jesus Christ, something that we didn't contribute anything to, there is no being better than another, not with God. In God, all are the same. All are equally condemned. All are equally saved. This is a gift that was given to you. You didn't earn it. You received it freely from God. And so that makes it a gift that is also available to the next person just as much as it is to you. There is no pride of place within the church of God. All are brothers and sisters in Christ. Everyone is dead in their trespasses apart from Christ vivifying them. And so everyone can be made alive again by Jesus Christ. And as God's people, we have the great opportunity to join in this work, to share this message of salvation with others. You have the opportunity to speak the message to those around you, to live your Christian faith in a way that it points to God. As Paul encourages us in verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When people notice you walking in the good works that God has prepared for you, when people notice that you are different, that gives you the opening to explain, to share this good news that you've been shown such great love and mercy by God. A Christian is saved. This is not something that we have earned for ourselves, so it's not something we should keep to ourselves. You have received this gift from God freely, freely give. The joy, the relief that we feel today in this brief moment of respite in the midst of the season of Lent, perhaps this is an apt analogy for our place as Christians living in this world. Because this world is filled with reminders of the suffering, of the loss, of the pain and hardship of sin and death. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But as we live in and for Christ, as the salvation we receive from Jesus Christ molds and forms our lives, we experience the gospel as balm, as the calm in the storm of life. Because regardless of the world around us, we have the joy and peace of being the saved children of God. A joy and peace to which the rest of the world is not privy yet, but a joy and peace that is for them as well, in which it is our joy and privilege to share with them. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.